So our last presentation this morning is from one of my coworkers from Michigan, Joanna Kitsa. Joanna, since 2010, has been an epidemiologist at Michigan State University College of Human Medicine, Division of Occupational and Environmental Medicine. Her research and publications focus on the epidemiology of work-related injuries and environmental and work-related heavy metal poisonings. She's originally from Poland and has a master's degree in law from a university in Krakow, Poland. She also has a master's degree in public administration with a concentration on health from Grand Valley State University, which is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So, Joanna?
Good morning, everybody. Today I will be presenting first year of surveillance data on work-related farm injuries in Michigan. We have unique surveillance system of occupational injuries in Michigan, and I will share what we do. All of 134 Michigan's acute care hospitals, including Veterans Administration hospitals, are required to report individuals with all injuries, including work-related farm injuries, when requested by the State of Michigan Health Department. Michigan's work-related farm injury surveillance system is used to identify demographics of injured farm operators and workers and types of injuries. Due to surveillance, we can better understand the magnitude and extent of farm work-related injuries, and we can use these reported injuries to prevent others from being injured while working on the farm. This surveillance system is also used to identify individuals needing Michigan Agribility Program's services. Michigan Agribility Program provides direct services to farmers with injuries, illnesses, or aging conditions so they can continue the occupation and lifestyle they love. Moreover, cases that meet certain criteria are referred to Michigan OSHA for an enforcement inspection. 2015 is the first year of compiling work-related farm injuries data. This system is based on existing surveillance systems we have in Michigan for work-related amputations, burns, skull fractures, crushing injuries, and hospitalized injuries. Bureau of Labor Statistics, which collects data on work-related injuries and illnesses in the United States, for an employer-based survey, reported estimated 374,000 farm-related injuries in crop and animal production in the U.S., 228,000 of which were with days away from work, had restricted work or job transfer, and this is data for 2015. For Michigan, BLS reported 1,000 cases, of which half were with days away from work, had restricted work or job transfer. State of Michigan Health Department promulgated a reporting rule in 2010. Michigan State University collects hospitals' medical records for the state and confirms work-related injury diagnosis by reviewing the chart. MSU contacts farm operators and workers whose injuries suggest that the individual would have an ongoing impairment and provides them information on Michigan Agribility Program. We are in the process of preparing our first annual report, which will summarize information learned from surveillance and help develop prevention strategies and educational materials. In certain cases, MSU initiates follow-up investigations by Michigan OSHA to identify circumstances under which workers have been exposed. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture 2012 Census of Agriculture for Michigan, there were approximately 52,000 farms in Michigan with about 80,000 farm operators and 83,000 farm employees. Farm injuries with the following ICD-9 or ICD-10 codes in the hospital discharge reports were used to identify work-related farm injuries. in the third quarter of 2015, ICD-10 code has replaced the ICD-9 code. Michigan surveillance system has identified 678 work-related farm injuries in 2015. 8 individuals had 2 separate agricultural injury incidents in 1 calendar year, so the number of injured workers was 670. Injured workers were treated in Michigan's hospitals or ER departments. If somebody went to his or her own doctor or to a radiker, we do not have information on this type of visits. We looked at all ages. Of those 678 injuries, 10 individuals sustained serious injury, which would suggest that they would have an ongoing serious impairment. An example of 2 separate injuries, there was a farmer who was kicked by a cow on 2 separate occasions, or a farmer that fell off a tractor on one occasion and was kicked by a cow on a different one. 9 individuals were identified as migrant workers. This number is so low because usually those workers do not seek care at all, or they are being treated at a migrant health clinic. And Michigan is covering migrant workers, which I know a lot of states don't. There were an additional 16 agricultural fatalities and about 1,400 non-work-related farm injuries. Data was not available on illness, such as heart disease or stroke, requiring hospitalization. Almost 88% of the injured individuals sought medical care in an emergency room, and this type of medical encounter was the most common. 10% of individuals were hospitalized due to the farm injury they sustained, and 2% were seen at the hospital-based clinic. As far as demographics are concerned, males comprise slightly over 73% of all individuals. Average age was 40 and median age was 37. Almost 10% of injured workers were 18 years of age or younger. When race was available, 91% were Caucasians. Also, when information on ethnicity was provided, almost 30% of injured workers were of Hispanic ethnicity. And it should be noted that in Michigan, Hispanic ethnicity comprises only 3% of Michigan's population. The most common part of body injured were upper limbs in 38% of individuals, followed by lower limbs in 24% of individuals. Injuries caused by cows were the most common and accounted for almost a third of all injuries. Category other, which is listed as the second common injury source, contains different types of injury sources that didn't fall into the 10 specific categories we have identified for this for the purpose of the surveillance. And examples of injuries that fell into the other category include being struck by a tree branch or dropping a heavy object on feet. This category accounted for almost 20% of all injuries. And then falls from height and injuries due to machinery other than a tractor, so for example a combine or a corn husker, accounted together for another 20% of injuries. Farm injuries occur in various farm settings. Listed here are farm injury case narratives. There was an injury where an individual was working on his family farm and was milking a cow when the cow stepped on his foot and he was pushed against the wall by another cow. He sustained a fractured rib due to this injury. Another example is where an individual was pinned under a tractor in a rollover type of an accident. This individual was hospitalized for 7 days due to serious injuries he had sustained, including multiple rib fractures. Another example is a female hired hand worker who fell off the ladders, second step from the top. I apologize, the medical record didn't specify the height of the ladder. But she lost consciousness for about 10 minutes and sustained concussion and contusions to her chest and left arm. The most common type of injury was contusion, which is another name for a bruise, in 29% of the injured individuals, followed by fractures, so much more serious injuries, in almost 18% of individuals. And these two natures of injuries accounted for about a half of all types of injuries identified. For about 75% of medical records, the occupation type was specified. Hired farm labor accounted for about 43% of all individuals working on a farm, followed by owner-operators with 41% and family members with 14%. Information on farm type was largely underreported. It was available only for 53% of all medical records. When farm type was recorded by a healthcare provider, dairy farms accounted for almost half of all known farm types, followed by livestock farms with 18% of injuries. According to the U.S. Census of Agriculture for Michigan, dairy cattle and milk production is not the main type of production in Michigan, farming production in Michigan. Grain farming is the most common and accounts for over a quarter of all crop and animal production in Michigan. So why have we identified the most injuries in dairy cattle and milk production? First, dairy is a 365-day, 24-hour-per-day activity. It is always wet, slippery, in combination with large animals and working in all weather conditions. Due to limited labor activity, herd needs, and other factors, it's not uncommon to work 6 to 8 days with 12-hour shifts and then take 3 to 4 days off. Lack of labor also means hiring just anybody willing to work. While training provides some improvement in injury numbers, the numbers tend not to drop until the workers become experienced in animal behavior. Secondly, generally dairy workers are treated at traditional medical service providers that would include emergency rooms. Many injuries in other, more seasonal crops, such as fruit and vegetable, are treated in seasonal clinics and we don't receive medical records from those clinics. Moreover, the much smaller U.S. Census of Agriculture number of dairy farms may be explained by the fact that many dairy operations have multiple types of farm operation. The typical operation has large grain production as well as dairy and may have general livestock production as well. So many will fall into the other category rather than double reporting. Information when injury happened was available for all cases. More injuries occurred in summer and fall months, with October, and October was the month with the highest number of farm injuries. Work-related farm injuries at, again, dairy farms accounted for about 45 to 51% throughout all the seasons. Injuries at livestock farms were more common during spring and summer. Injuries at fruit and vegetable farms were the most common during fall season, so during harvest time. Grain farms had the most injuries in the winter time. And we found this, this was due to preparing machinery for the spring operations. This slide represents county of residence of farm operators and workers. It was available for 95% of all cases. It should be noted that the county of residence would not necessarily be the same county where the individual was injured, so where the farm was located. Information on the county of farm's location was largely underreported. It was available for only 52% of all cases. However, we could assume that the county of work of a farm operator or worker who is an owner-operator or a family member should be the same as the county of his or her residence. This table illustrates expected source of payment. Commercial insurance was the expected payer in 47% of cases, followed by workers' compensation in 21%, and other, which includes Medicare and Medicaid in 21% of cases, and self-pay in 10%. It has been mentioned that we have identified 10 farm operators and workers with more serious injuries that suggested that they would have an ongoing serious impairment because of the injury. Listed here are two examples of injuries where we have contacted the farm workers with a letter and information about the Michigan Agribility Program. In the first case, a 68-year-old farmer operator was working on his farm. He was using a tractor and exited it while it was still running. The tractor slipped into gear and ran over the farmer. He sustained many serious injuries, including crushing injuries and rib fractures. He was hospitalized for 7 days. In the second case, a 26-year-old was working on a farm with a coworker. He was an employee of that farm for 5 years. They were drilling post holes with an auger, and the auger jammed, and the injured farmer were to unjam it to get it going again, and at the same time, it started to spin again, and it took him down. He sustained an above-the-knee amputation of his right leg, and of course, he was hospitalized for his injury. This slide shows the agribility package that we mailed to farm workers with more serious injuries. It contains a letter from the state informing the individual about the reporting requirement of work-related farm injuries and services available from the Michigan Agribility Program. The farm worker receives also a cover letter signed by the Michigan Agribility's program assistive technology professional, informing him about the program and providing an example of assistive technology that had helped one of the clients served by the Michigan Agribility Program. And also an agribility brochure is included in the package. If a case meets certain criteria, it is referred to Michigan OSHA for an enforcement inspection. And the Michigan OSHA referral criteria for 2015 reports had to be as follows. So individual had to be hospitalized or treated in emergency room or as an outpatient at a hospital-based clinic for a farm injury that occurred within the past 6 months since the day of the injury. Here is an example of a farm injury case that we have referred for a Michigan OSHA inspection. The job function was a general labor conducting various work duties related to pouring containers of hop flour into the hop flour mixing chamber. An employee that was brushing the last of the hops from the mixing chamber into the pallet delivery conveyor with a hand brush. His rubber glove was cut in the revolving mixing arms, fracturing his right arm. The E-stop button should have been pushed before the employee swept out the hopper, but it wasn't. Michigan OSHA cited the company for removing the metal guard when in operation, exposing the moving mixer arms of the hop flour mixing chamber. $2,000 in monetary penalties were assessed the violation was directly related to the injury, and the company had not corrected the hazard at the time of the inspection. This table represents the nature of injury by three systems: Bureau of Labor Statistics, Michigan Surveillance System, and Workers' Compensation. The employer-based system identified a much smaller estimate, less than 60%, than the Michigan system. Michigan 2014 Hospital Association administrative database, where workers' compensation was the expected payer and place of occurrence was farm, identified even a smaller number of work-related farm injuries. So if we have used workers' compensation data to estimate or to report how many work-related farm injuries were in Michigan, we would identify only 7% of those injuries in Michigan. There are many lessons learned from the 2015 work-related farm surveillance. Cases have been very useful for contacting farm workers with more serious injuries and providing information on Michigan Agribility Program. Since fall of 2016, we have started sending more agribility letters to individuals with less severe work-related injuries and with severe non-work-related injuries, because we review all medical records and we do surveillance of only work-related, but we also, by reviewing the chart, we know somebody was, it was not a work-related injury, but was very serious, so we still want to spread out the word about the Michigan Agribility Program. And we have mailed 96 letters in the past 7 months, so more injured farm workers will learn about the services of Michigan Agribility Program. Also, cases are useful for initiation of Michigan OSHA inspections, and we have learned that the workers' compensation data do not show the true count of work-related farm injuries. We are in the process of preparing our first annual report on farm-related work injuries, as well as some educational materials, including hazard alerts and prevention programs. Once the injury data is completely aggregated, it will be used to assist in planning activity and setting priorities regarding specific types of injuries and geographic parts of the state to emphasize for prevention strategies. And this is all I had. Thank you very much. So in 2010, a rule of reporting all work-related injuries and illnesses was passed, and we have selected certain injuries, including burns, skull fractures, and now farm-related injuries to be reported to the Health State Department. And because we received a grant through USDA to work on the agribility, it's an agribility grant that's in place for past, I believe, 3 years. We are in the third year of the grant. So including this information into the grant, it just enhanced
One just to go on that. So Martha St. Mary was the impetus behind that, and it's not just work-related injuries, but all traumatic injuries are reportable to the state, and but they're only reportable if we make the request to the hospital, so they're not mandated to send stuff until we ask for it.
Until we ask for certain conditions to be reported,
so
certain injuries.
Stuff.
To expand on it.
How many
yeah, right. All injuries by all individual physicians. require all 30,000 physicians to report individual injuries if we wanted to. There was no opposition whatsoever to proposing those regulations. I should say the only comment received was from a group concerned about abuse of women, that somehow confidential information about women being abused would get out because they were included under them. That was the only objection. None of the hospitals objected. Industry did not object. There was no objections whatsoever to the promulgation of the regulations.
How did that process get started?
I elbowed Martha.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the question means. How does it get started?
Like for other states that are interested in having.
I mean, first of all, I would certainly encourage you, and, you know, you have to look at your public health laws. So the Michigan public health law allows anything to be reportable that the health department declares to be reportable. So, for instance, the asthma program could require the reporting of all asthma. So you'd have to look at your public health reporting.
Yes.
Was that a household member? Like
yes, she was a family member on that farm. Yes, because we collect data on all ages. Yes, so children are also included.
Well, speaking of that, I noticed you had your youngest is a 4-year-old. How do you determine a 4-year-old is working?
So we included this case. So I believe it was a boy doing chores in a barn. So he was assigned to do something, yes. So we still included it because...
Okay, so that actually goes to one question I had, which is, and of course I deal with it working in amputations, but how did you make the determination, especially on a farm, whether someone's working or not? Like if they're mowing the lawn, is that working?
Yes, this is what we will not include. So it has clearly be farm-related activity they are engaged in.
So if someone's in the barn and they fall and something hits them, is that work-related?
We would have to, we review the chart and so we look for some more specific information whether this person was doing something
unclear,
for work.
If
it's unclear, then we do not include those cases. At some point, I believe Ken may have a final say on those unknowns.
So the question going on between the two Michigan people is when Tom's unsure whether an amputation is work-related, because Tom does the exact same thing with all the amputations in the state, we have people interview the patient with the amputee. For farm-related, we don't have the resources that we give Tom. So if there's any doubt on whether it's work-related or not, we just consider it non-work-related.
Mm-hmm.
So that would include, like, the person that's mowing the pasture who's 78 years old, and
well, if they're mowing the pasture and it looks like it's related to the growing of the crop, that probably would be considered work-related. It really depends what.
I know, those are the ones that even look
right.
Like the Kelly's.
But clearly, if you're mowing your front yard, we would not consider
right.
it.
That's
but yes, there probably are some gray areas there where, but we try it for farming, we're erring on and calling it non work.
So it's generally a conservative count.
Mm-hmm.
I have two questions on that. How many of your 16 fatalities actually made it to the hospital, I guess?
So I only mentioned the number of fatalities. They are not included in this number. My FACE, Michigan FACE program will have more detailed information on those fatalities
in
the report.
Do you make the request to the hospital? Do you have your ICD-9-10 code?
Yes.
So you have your hospital or your ED discharge data. Do you run that against the codes and then say these are the cases we want records for, or do you, I guess that's my question. Is that how the order goes? You run it?
Yes, so hospital discharge reports are requested to be provided on a quarterly basis. There is a list of certain ICD-9 codes for certain injuries and diseases, so the hospitals are required to report those that we request.
So basically, it had to at least be coded in that discharge data?
Yes, as a primary or...
Can I?
Yes.
So in the end of February, 134 hospitals get a letter listing all the conditions they're going to be required to report that year, and then the ICD codes listed. For some conditions, we don't get our administrative ICD codes for another year, and we will go back and say, well, you forgot to report this. But,
so I was just wondering if...
And there are also...
If when we don't get the records, but we just get the discharge data, the ED data, how many of those would we actually miss, or how representative are...
And it also depends on the condition. For some conditions, we request only work-related injuries of... Like, for example, for burns of individuals 14 years and older, for skull fractures or amputations, it's 16 years and older. For farm-related injuries, we request all ages. For hospitalized injuries, only those that workers' compensation is the expected payer. So there are different variables here.
Thank yes? you for sharing that information with us. I'm curious how you picked
that you did of ICD-9 codes for farm injury? Is there a lot of thinking that went into that, or did you borrow a scheme from some other state or Canada? Or? No, it was, I believe, our decision. Okay. These are the codes with, I believe, the most injuries that were identified in the Michigan Hospital Association database, I think. Yeah? No? Or?
Yes. So, we looked at the literature, what, like New York State has done in terms of reporting, and then we closely read the ICD codes to see, could we identify something, and we came up with that.
So, this is kind of like a broad scope, and then from that, then you make sure it's from a farm and it's work related.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't necessarily just take these codes and say they're all work related farm
Right, you can do the measurement.
These are good group that you can actually review without going through everything.
Thank you.
So if I, sorry to harp on this, if I understand correctly, so all these like trauma centers or emergency departments, they kind of manage their own records and they send to you when you request them. Is there a push in Michigan to make like a unified system, a trauma registry, where everything reports, all these hospitals and trauma centers are reporting to one system and that's managed? Has there been that?
So it's been a long, I started in 95 and they were still talking about it back then. I think it's starting to come to fruition now. They're starting to get the trauma centers, trauma registries across the state.
And the truth is, trauma registries only capture, or usually only capture, admitted patients. And so you're not going to get all your injuries if you go on trauma registry.
We have a trauma registry in Massachusetts. We also have reporting logs on the books, and we have hospitals reporting to us, and we go back and we help them all cases we want or that they missed as well. And we find it's really hard to identify work-related in the trauma registry because there's no work-related variable in our trauma registry in Massachusetts. But you still wouldn't have the medical record information, so you could still be going back to the hospital to get more information.
Yeah, in Alaska we have a trauma registry and it has something like 300 variables, but we get that every year, which is really helpful. And it has it has the work-related variable and some good like narratives. That's actually worked on it for my master's thesis, and I was kind of impressed with how the narrative versus details, but so it's interesting to see how the states are different with their registration.
Yeah, I have a question. For injuries that are clearly farm related but occur on, say, a hobby farm where the those injuries included or excluded?
Hobby farm?
Does that mean like a farmette, something like less than 50 acres, it's personal use? But it's still
we don't have this detailed information on farm type, and it's largely underreported. So if it was clearly not work, hobby, we would not include it.
Okay. I'm Gabby Su, yes, 15 in Nash. I was just wondering, did you collect these workers' employment status? In your database, are they temporary workers or self-employed or other kinds of employment status?
So the category of workers, is what you're
asking? Yeah.
So these are farm operators, these are employed workers, also family members, and seasonal and migrant workers. So these are the categories, yes.
The answer to both the questions is we are dependent on what the healthcare provider writes in the medical record.
Mm-hmm.
So if the doctor says, oh, this is a hobby farm, we'll know it. Otherwise, if it says a farmer, it's a farmer. We don't know any idea. And if the doctor says it's a temporary worker, then we'll know it. But that's not typically what a doctor is going to record in the medical record, so we don't know it.
If you had an idea of how many are being missed by not capturing urgent cares or HMOs that drive people first to their HMO instead of an emergency department. Do you have an idea?
I don't. And I would assume that would be a large number because farmers are they are like a specific group, yes, that they don't seek medical care unless something really bad happened. So.
Any other questions? We're 5 minutes ahead of time for lunch, so thanks.